The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse.
The beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the unseasonably warm heart of the Missouri Ozarks, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our humble Christmassy bunker.
Yes.
You know what? There's a lot of Christmas going on, but who knows, because it's so warm.
Exactly. It's, well, the dandelions are blooming out in the front lawn, and we have had some...
Yeah, the dandelions of Judah.
Yes. That's the one we're waiting for.
Amen.
Yeah.
He is the... He's everything in a bag of chips.
Everything, yes.
He's the Alpha and the Omega.
Absolutely. And a lot of... you know, this year compared to last Christmas, and we'll talk about this during this program, there seems to be a growing belief... A rise in eschatological expectations among the three major monotheistic religions of the world. All and you know,
you mean NBC, ABC, and CBS? couldn't help it.
HBO, Showtime, and Cinemax. No.
Oh yeah. Well, the reason I said that is because we see more and more TV shows that have that theme.
Yeah. We talked about the this past year, the miniseries on the USA Network, Dig, which dealt with that. And kind of surprising that it didn't get renewed for a second season, because it certainly could have been.
No, that's true. But after the first of the year, a new show is going to come on one of these channels. Don't ask me which. Fox, I think, that is called Damien. And it's what happened to him later on.
The Omen movies, but later on, huh?
It's sort of ignoring the movies that followed the initial one because they were bad.
Yeah. Well, like everything else, if you want to create a new series or have an idea for a new movie, just reboot an earlier one, like they've done with Star Wars, apparently.
Well, there are those. And we're not going to get into Star Wars because there's so much more to talk about.
There is.
And we are trying to keep these to 30 minutes or so in Gilbert time.
Yeah. Well, 2:1 is the ratio of conversion there.
Pretty much.
Just about. Yeah. 1.5:1. But anyway, Merry Christmas as we record this on Christmas Eve of 2015. But again, as we look outside, it's so green out there. I mean, no leaves in the trees except for the cypress out front, or cedars rather out front. But dandelions blooming in the yard, and certainly the armadillos haven't gone into hiding yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Give them time.
Yeah. Well, we're getting the yard is nicely aerated, thanks to the armadillo. The eschatological expectations around the world are really ramping up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the Christian church, and this is, I think, what the interesting thing. I'm doing some research and writing now for the chapter that I still owe Tom Horn, and I've got a week to do it. For the forthcoming book, but Christians over the past couple of decades, especially with the popularity of the Left Behind novels, Tim LaHaye and Jerry B. Jenkins, were, I think, pictured by a lot of secularists here in America, which is frankly most of America, even those who call themselves Christians, as being the ones who were being unrealistic. You know, they had this fantasy vision that Jesus was going to come back and fix everything. Well, you know, that's Orthodox Christianity, people. I mean, that's Christianity 101.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and he is.
Yeah. But among Christians, those who actually believe that Bible prophecy is going to be literally fulfilled with his return and our resurrection into glorified bodies, those who've already, you know, gone on to be with the Lord, are in the minority.
Mm-hmm.
Churches don't teach prophecy anymore.
You know, I didn't realize that when I was growing up, because I grew up in a very small town, Baptist church, independent Baptist. It was Southern Baptist. Then very quickly after we started going there, it did went to independent because didn't like the things the Southern Baptists were doing. Mm-hmm. We learned prophecy every Wednesday night. And right. On Sunday mornings, he preached it again. I mean, it was very important to our pastor. And so from the time I was very young, I grew up, I just assumed everybody learned that yeah. until I got out in the real world and went to a lot of other churches and realized
yeah, and people looked
we
at you
were
funny.
In the minority.
Yeah. You're expecting him to really come back? I mean, sometime soon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that predominant view in America and in the technologically advanced West is why so many of our political leaders have real difficulty grasping what's going on in the Middle East.
Yeah.
I've been reading the book by Dr. Timothy Furnish, which is a collection of his columns from his website, MahdiWatch.org, over the last 10 years, called... I've forgotten the title now. It's a long, long title. 10 Years Captivation with the Mahdi's Camps. And he points out that in 2012, the Pew Research Group, which does a lot of surveys, polling on religious beliefs, found that in the Middle East, unlike what we hear from our media moguls, media pundits, and political leaders, that the Islamic State and Jabhat al-Nusra and some of these other groups with apocalyptic beliefs in the Middle East don't represent Islam. The fact is, they really do.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I mean,
they do.
A vast majority of people, especially in places closest to Israel, and I think not coincidentally, the places that we've invaded over the last dozen years, Afghanistan and Iraq in particular, almost 3 out of 4 people surveyed believe they will see the Mahdi in their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
That is far more people than American Christians who believe that they'll see Jesus return in their lifetime.
But you know that number of American Christians and Christians worldwide, in particular outside of the United States, that number is going up.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit is speaking to the church.
Yes.
And we're starting to, you know, waking us up, just sort of smacking us on the head and saying, hey, you know, wake up, virgins.
Yeah.
He's coming.
So in my case, it was a 2x4, but I get the concept.
Well, by the same token, those, you know, other, as you say, other faiths, primarily Judaism and Islam, have their own eschatological viewpoint
yes.
of what's going to happen. And because of that, they are being also awakened because this is all about a spiritual war.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And they're being awakened at the same time so that they will perceive the return of Jesus as something other than his literal return, or so that they will interpret the appearance of the Antichrist as their own savior,
yes,
the Mahdi or the Jewish Messiah. There are prominent Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox rabbis in Israel who are now very publicly proclaiming that the return of the Messiah is imminent.
Mm-hmm.
Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, who is a respected scholar, ultra-Orthodox, who up until last year, 2014, was not known to make proclamations about the Messiah's return, has been saying for a solid year, this gentleman is in his late 80s, that the return is imminent, that people in Israel shouldn't travel out of the country because they might miss the return of the Messiah.
And with Russia coming down, that's fulfilling a lot of prophecies that some of the Orthodox Jews and some of the Kabbalists have been looking to.
Right. Rabbi Sternbuch in Israel, who's a great-grandson of the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon was Elijah ben Shlomo.
I forgot
his last name. I basically just flagged it.
It's V-I-L-N-A-G-A-O-N, I think.
G-A-O-N. Basically, that translates as the genius of Vilnius.
Yeah.
Vilnius is the capital city in Lithuania. He was an 18th-century scholar considered one of the most influential...
Shlomo Zalman.
Yes, Zalman. That's it. He was considered one of the most influential non-Hasidic rabbinical scholars since the Middle Ages. And he passed down a personal prophecy before his death, or mm-hmm. at the time of his death in 1797, through his family. His great-grandson, Rabbi Sternbuch, was talking about this very recently. The prophecy was first revealed in March of 2014, by a colleague, whose name I've got written down here. I can't remember his last name. Lazer is his first name, L-A-Z-E-R. But anyway, it was following Russia's annexation of Crimea, because the prophecy basically had two components. One, when the Russians take Crimea. Number two, when the Russians are at the gates of Constantinople, which
yes.
is Istanbul.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, March of 2014, Russia takes Crimea away from Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the rabbi Laser, and forgive me for forgetting his last name, issued, you know, said, this is what the prophecy says. But then just within the last month, on November 24th, when two Turkish F-16 fighter jets shot down a Russian Su-24 fighter bomber over Syria, tensions between Russia and Turkey have escalated.
Stern?
Might be. I'll have to
look. I'm seeing Rabbi Lazar Stern. Or Laser.
Yeah. Yeah. Could be. That's a pretty cool name.
It is.
But the point is that they were basically saying, you know, this prophecy that's been handed down and had been kept within the family until this period of history. And again, to be very clear, we don't give credit to any prophecy that is contained outside the Bible.
Right.
It's only biblical prophecy that we believe is absolutely true. But it's important
100%
to understand. Right. 100% true. Because the enemy is very clever at couching lies surrounding it with a grain of truth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to understand what is taught and believed by other people, because that dictates how they behave and how mm-hmm. they act. So anyway, the tensions between Russia and Turkey have been escalating ever since that incident on the Turkish-Syrian border on November 24th, to the point where the Russian Ministry of Defense just yesterday issued a statement in which they said they believe that the incident was premeditated by Turkey and was planned using information that Russia had shared with the United States, and from the United States then mm-hmm. on to Turkey, of course. So things are getting very tense there.
I don't think it's coincidental that this all began in early 2014, because that was the cycle of these blood moons that we were looking
right,
at.
Right, right.
I really think there was something to that. Just like, honestly, I think there's something to the 2012 thing. I think that something may have happened in 2012 that's giving birth to things we're seeing now.
Could very well be. And of course,
and I'm not talking about things that the Lord himself necessarily did. But remember, he is in control of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he allows the enemy to do certain things because all it does is fulfill what he wants done.
Exactly right. The enemy is trying to send a strong delusion, which, of course, the Lord told us was going to happen. So we're expecting that. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to perceive so that what's going on, so that we are not ignorant of the enemy's devices.
Exactly.
Which is what the Apostle Paul wrote.
Which is what the PID and PID radio is all about.
Hearing in the darkness, right. So there are a lot of things that are kind of coming together at this point in history, much more so than a year ago, even. Again, the fact that you've got Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox rabbis very publicly and prominently saying, he's here. He just hasn't revealed himself yet. He is here at the door. Don't travel mm-hmm. from Israel. If you see the Russians attacking Turkey, put on your Sabbath clothes and don't take them off. Meanwhile, you've got the radical Sunni groups, Jabhat al-Nusra and the Islamic State, al-Qaeda. And as Dr. Furnish makes clear, it is the Sunnis who have this belief that they can, in his words, hotwire the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know,
we've been hearing about the Shia for years.
Right. And in fact, what we've been hearing about the Shia has been wrong. The Shia do not believe that they can do anything to, just like Christians who believe that, you know, prophecy is set, only God knows mm-hmm. the time of his return.
Right.
We don't know. We cannot know. The Shia believe the same, that they cannot do anything except
discern the times.
Yeah. Discern the times. Try to live as good Muslims and wait for the Mahdi to appear.
Mm-hmm.
Sunnis, and this is not fringe belief, and this is what Dr. Furnish's point is, that this is mainstream Sunni thought. It's the reason that he says the Islamic State is not a fringe group. They've not hijacked Islam. They are going back to a purer form mm-hmm. of Islam as they discern it.
You're really passionate about this because I know you've been writing a chapter for the book that you mentioned earlier. The book is tentatively called, we don't know if this is the final title or not, but I predict.
Yeah.
And it's a multi-author book that many of us are putting, you know, inputting our chapters on. And I'm going to talk about hybridization and human alteration, mm-hmm. moving toward transhumanism. You're going to talk about eschatology.
Well, yeah. Roughly based, I started it because I volunteered to take the chapter on the Third Temple and the Ark of the Covenant. But when I realized that the whole battle is for the Temple Mount, Mount Zion.
Yeah.
Which is not the Mount Zion. I didn't even know this before I started reading the chapter. Mount Zion today is actually the Western Hill, mm-hmm. the site of King David's tomb.
Mm-hmm.
The Temple Mount, which I thought was Mount Zion, was Mount Zion back in the day. But after the Romans destroyed Israel, you know, back in 70 AD, Judea.
Yeah.
They changed the name. Well, that hill's taller. Let's make that one Mount Zion.
You're doing really well for somebody with a cold.
Well, thank you. Yeah, yesterday would have been bad. I would have been no good at all in front of a microphone.
I know. You were barely conscious.
Well, I'm slightly more conscious today, but not a whole lot more.
Cute, though, no matter what you do, even if you're unconscious. You're still really cute.
I look about as together as Doc Brown from the Back of the Future movies.
You must be 90 degrees because you're at a cute angle.
So anyway, yeah, the whole battle is going to be for the Temple Mount, and ultimately, you know, whether the third temple gets built or not, well, it will be built, because prophetically we know that it's going to be, because the Antichrist is going to desecrate it. So anyway, that's why I've got into all of this. But as I started digging into this, I realized just how little we Christians knew, and I'm more guilty of this than anyone else, I think, how little we really understand what other religions believe and how it affects what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And the hubris of especially Western politicians saying, well, these people don't believe this, they believe that. It's like, no, you idiot. They're telling us in their own magazines what they believe. Why don't you believe them?
Like,
you know, because we know better than they do what they actually believe.
I know. Well, anyway. I hate to interrupt, but there is more to talk about. And it's been a whole year that we need to look back on, or unless we're going to, you know, go like 2 hours. but you're right. Eschatology is major. And by the way, I was wrong, and the acute angle is less than 90 degrees. So you're either obtuse or right. I think you're right.
Yeah, I'm right.
Always right.
Although often obtuse.
That would be me. That would be me. Well, I know, like I said, I know you're really passionate about this. This is a book that I hope comes out next summer, if not next spring. It all depends on when all of us get our chapters submitted.
Yeah.
We're just kind of late. We're supposed to have this
done. Yeah, I know. That's why I got to hurry up.
It's not like we haven't had things that were going on.
That's true.
Lots of things to look forward to in 2016. 2015 has been a year of changes. It seems like beginning in 2014 that just things kicked into high gear.
Snowball. Downhill.
And, yeah. And I think that I think 2016 is going to be even crazier.
Yeah.
Talk about obtuse.
Well, and I think this is one of the reasons that I get so passionate about this, because there are things happening in our culture and geopolitically that just frankly seem insane.
Yeah.
Like one of the rabbis I was reading about the whole Turkey-Russia provocation said, are they crazy? Well, maybe, or maybe this is just a supernatural provocation that you know, powers, principalities, thrones, dominions are provoking, you know, pushing. The same holds true with some of the cultural changes we've seen. You know, the Supreme Court has made homosexual marriage the law of the land. We're seeing now the woman of the year is a man. It's unbelievable.
You know, and another thing that's all over the news right now is HIV and, and the Charlie Sheen thing, and then whether or not he should have told his partners. Well, yes, he should have.
Yeah.
And most states require that you tell, you know, your partners, otherwise you're going to be prosecuted.
Yeah.
Whether or not California is going to do anything, I don't know. But I read today that apparently Planned Parenthood has a little pamphlet that you can download online. It's PDF. And it essentially says whether or not you choose to tell is your right. If you choose to tell, that's your right to make that decision. Shouldn't be incumbent upon you.
Really? Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, but that's giving a disease to someone else. And if you know you've got it,
then
you are willfully giving that disease.
Okay, so
your partner should be aware of that.
Yeah, I mean, that is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Apparently, the right to have sex with anyone, any or anything in any way that I want is the ultimate human right.
Yeah.
Good night.
I know.
I mean, that's like telling somebody who's got tuberculosis that you don't need to tell anybody. You just go in and, you know, just mingle freely with people and cough all over them. I mean,
Here's what the booklet says.
Irrational.
Young people, this is a quote, young people living with HIV have the right to decide if, when, and how to disclose their HIV status. Sharing your HIV status is called disclosure. This is written to teens. Your decision about whether to disclose any change with different people and may change with different people and situations. In other words, some people, you know, I don't like them, so I'm not going to tell them. And somebody else, okay, well, she'll never go out with me again if she finds out. Those are my comments.
Yeah.
But to get back to what they're quoting, you have the right to decide if, when, and how to disclose your HIV status. I'm sorry, that's not a human right.
No, it is not.
The human right is being told, being aware of being subjected to catching a communicable disease.
Exactly.
One that could kill you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that the people who are HIV positive should be branded with a scarlet letter or
anything. No, but if you're going to have intimate relations, which is
yes.
a very personal thing.
Yeah.
You should share that. And if the person says, nope, don't want to, then okay, well, let's figure something else out.
Yeah.
If you really love each other, but if it's a one-night stand and you decide you're not going to,
yeah.
Well.
I mean, that is unbelievable. I mean, the concept I was always taught was that your personal rights, your freedom to swing your arms around in any way you want ends at the tip of my nose. You know, your personal rights, your human rights are you know, inviolable unless they infringe on mine.
And yeah.
But what Planned Parenthood is saying here is that your right to have sex is, you know, trumps the right to avoid causing harm to another person.
I know. That's exactly what they seem to be saying. It'll be interesting to see what Planned Parenthood counters with this article that was published in, where was this published? Sorry, I have to go to the original. The Federalist.
Wow. The Federalist is a good website. They've got mm-hmm. some really good op-ed pieces there.
Yeah, that's
well,
what this
well
is.
Out, well
and
written.
It's interestingly, it's filed under crime, and it
yeah.
should be.
And it should be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, again, it's one of those things that makes so little sense from a rational standpoint that I believe it's got a supernatural origin. That's I've
yeah.
just come to believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are so many things in this world that people feel so passionately about that just don't make any kind of sense.
You know, you've been talking about eschatology, which is just a study of the end times, and the fact that the whole world seems to be flipping upside down.
Yeah.
You know, we see in the Bible that it predicts that the day will come when the earth will reel like a drunkard. Well, mm-hmm. politically, I think we are. And as far as politically correct, you know, speech and behavior, it's gone crazy. But I have to say, kudos to David Cameron for coming out with his Christmas speech and talking about Jesus. He talks about Jesus as the Prince of Peace,
mm-hmm.
and he says that at this time of the year especially, Britain needs to remember they are a Christian nation. Now, whether or not
yeah.
they really are or not, the fact is that in the midst of this massive influx from the Middle East into European countries, including the UK, for him to say that, kudos to him.
Yeah.
And he's been being branded as an evangelical now.
Yeah. Well, you know, even secularists, if they were to step back and just look at things rationally, set their passions aside and their biases aside and just look at how England developed as a nation and by extension, then how the United States developed, because our system of jurisprudence is based upon English common law, which
mm-hmm.
is essentially based on the morality of the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you remove that, then you wind up with chaos. You basically mm-hmm. wind up with the tribal, the violent tribal civilization, frankly, that you got in in the Middle East.
You're building your house on sand.
Yeah. But again, it's not a rational fear that secularists and atheists have of Christianity. They're more prone to attack Jesus Christ than they are to attack Muhammad. Because they know that, the spirits behind them know they've got more to fear from Jesus than
yeah.
do from Muhammad.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Very, very well said. Well, you know, I often talk about science and health and things like that. So very quickly, I'm just going to cover a story that I saw today that really alarmed me. Because Brazil is in the midst of their summer right now, while we're in the midst of our winter.
Mm-hmm.
There has been an unprecedented number of Brazilian babies born with microcephaly. It means they have very small heads and very small brains, and they have lifelong developmental disorders and mental issues.
Mm-hmm.
This is believed they've had 2,400 of these. That's a lot. This is an extremely rare event, and yet there have been lots and lots of them. So it has been women in Brazil are being urged to please do not get pregnant right now, because the belief is that this is the Zika virus being spread by mosquitoes.
Oh.
The Zika virus is relatively new. It was just recently discovered. And the belief is that it's being spread. And again, it is considered a primary factor in this birth defect.
Wow.
This is something, anything that we see in the South always has the potential to come north.
Right. We see that with the chikungunya virus, which mm-hmm. is spread into the United States last year from the Caribbean. And from the Caribbean, it arrived there from, was it Madagascar? It originally started in India, but then it was...
Yeah.
The virus was spread to... I thought it was Madagascar, but I could be wrong.
It may have been.
But anyway, carried then by somebody who had it in his bloodstream to the Caribbean, and then into mosquitoes from there, and then people who vacation in the Caribbean.
Exactly.
Bringing it home is turned up, you know, in Florida, as far north as Tennessee.
Exactly,
Indiana,
because these mosquitoes can also travel, but they can be carried in planes and in ships, you know, via fruit and things like that. They're studied in some labs, so who knows if you've got a lab that's, you know, not practicing really good restriction and security protocols. Who knows?
Yeah. Other things that have happened this past year that are significant, of course, the spread of technocracy with the Pope giving his stamp of approval to the idea, the concept of anthropogenic climate change, the idea that we are responsible for the warming of the earth. A technocracy, of course, is a kind of an overarching belief system that knows no political loyalties. Democrats, Republicans, communists, socialists, you know, they can all, fascists, they can all be technocrats. The idea that engineers, science is uniquely qualified to determine social policy.
They've got big brains. They can do it.
Right. So they need,
and they've got those artificial intelligences.
That's it. And so they need to monitor everything that we do so they can properly ration the resources that we need to live.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, climate change gives them justification then to control how we live by controlling our carbon output, because energy consumption goes into almost everything we do, for what we're doing right now, to food preparation, to driving to work and back. And, of course, the Paris Climate Change Summit ended about a week ago with an agreement signed by the 195 representatives of the nations of the Earth, 196 if you count Taiwan. And
or Doxundia.
Yeah, Doxundia.
They didn't sign.
Well, they're under themselves.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. But the agreement was criticized by some of the true believers in global warming for not having any methods any mandatory targets that had to be hit by any of the nations, or any enforcement mechanism.
It's very open-ended.
Right. But we found out the weekend after that the agreement was announced, Secretary of State Kerry on Fox News said, well, we made sure there were – essentially admitted that the reason there's no enforcement mechanism is because if there were, it would be counted as a treaty, and then the U.S. Senate would have to vote on it and would likely vote thumbs down. So now, having said that, the government of New Zealand, the spokesman down there, let slip that the U.S. and 18 other nations were going to lead the world in setting up carbon exchanges.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which they tried back in 2003. Yeah. Al Gore was a main investor in the Chicago Climate Exchange.
I'm looking at you, Iowa.
Yeah, and it failed. In fact, some of the main investors filed suit in 2010 when it folded for fraud. But it basically winds up being a tax on carbon output. But essentially, it becomes a tax on economic output.
It is simply a control mechanism.
It is a control mechanism, and that's something we can look forward to more of in 2016. Again, especially as you get the leader of the largest nominally Christian denomination in the world, the Roman Catholic Church, behind it.
Yeah.
Not unanimously. A lot of Catholics who are opposed to it.
So. Well, and honestly, scientifically speaking, there are many scientists out there who believe that the line that we're being told, that there's massive global warming and it's human, it's anthropocentric, that data is not quite accurate.
No, the global temperatures have not shown any warming in 19 years.
In fact, there are a lot of believe that it actually has to do with the sun. And unless you want to, you know, find the sun.
Yeah.
Sorry, sun, you're just shining too bright.
That was a funny story out earlier this week that NASA said, hey, you know what? Our studies show that emitting aerosols into the air, you know, particulates, pollution, actually reduces global temperatures.
Yeah.
So, okay. Mm. And areas that are more heavily forested because they're darker, they tend to absorb more heat, so they tend to be warmer. So, okay, cut down the forest and start and burn
Excuse
all the wood.
Excuse me?
Yes.
Okay, they have just officially jumped the shark.
Yeah.
They've gone crazy.
It is.
The lake. Well, we talk about AI in here a lot, and I know that we're running out of time. But Eric Schmidt is on the record now as talking about artificial intelligence once again, Eric Schmidt of Google. And he has said, we really need to make sure as we build these AI that there is some sort of verification system in place to make sure that we can avoid undesirable outcomes. And I put that in scare quotes because that's what many are saying. We can't control the AI. We don't know what they're going to be like. They probably won't think like we do at all. And they'll just look at us and go, you're in the way.
Exactly. Yeah, there was a great scene that we're watching through Person of Interest. Yeah, and we got a couple of more that were, you know, DVR'd that we can
watch. I know.
There was a great scene from the fourth season where the creator of The Machine, which is, the spy network that he set up.
It's AI, the good AI, the one we're supposed to root for.
Exactly, the good AI.
put that in quotes.
Tells another character that he basically built 43 different versions of the artificial intelligence. And he said, of those 43, do you know how many didn't try to trick me or kill me? Just one. And I only brought that one to heel by crippling it and essentially set it up so that it erased its memory every night at midnight.
Yeah.
And I think there's probably some truth to that because the proponents of the ones who want to reach the technological singularity just have this idea that somehow we'll be able to program our concepts of fairness and love and morality and beauty and truth into a machine.
An altruistic AI.
Right. And the guy who created, there are those out there like Eric Schmidt apparently who recognize, this might be harder than we think. In fact, I did the interview, did an interview a couple of years ago with Stuart Armstrong, who was a member of the Future of Humanity Institute with Nick Bostrom at Oxford.
Yes.
And that's what his whole book is about. You know, how we program a computer to adopt our standards of morality and so forth. And you just
shake your head, don't you?
Yeah. It's well, again, it's not rational.
No.
But again, it's easier for people to believe in what they can hold in their hands. I mean, we've got how many internet-connected devices on this desk right now?
Oh,
three, four, five, just on this desk.
Well, my phone is
six. Connected. Okay, count the phones. That's seven. It's easier for people to believe in the miracle of technology than to believe in the miracle of a literal bodily resurrection someday into a glorified body. Based on the promises contained in a book that most of us have never read.
Yeah, in many ways, the internet and the idea of transhumanism is just a pale imitation of what is truth.
Yeah.
And that is God's design, which is wonderful and really is altruistic.
Yeah.
He loves us so much so that he died for us. Find a machine that'll do that.
Yeah. No, it's not likely.
No, we want to think that they would, but the truth is they wouldn't.
Right.
No. The machine, if it becomes sentient, will realize, you know what? They're kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Carbon-based?
Yeah, very inefficient, using up all these resources, fighting with each other. And because they're fighting with one another, they're threatening my existence. Yeah. Because, you know, I might get in the crossfire. Let's just eliminate all the humans.
And in case you think that there's no way that there's a chip fast enough or a computer fast enough, there are huge strides being made in the last few weeks.
Right.
Light-based chips that move almost at the speed of light. I mean, we're talking massively fast. So, it's coming.
Proofs of concept have been announced within the last few weeks of quantum computing chips.
Yes. Yeah. That don't have to be constantly cooled, which is one of the main problems.
Right.
They can essentially do one task really fast, and they have to be cooled, you know, to almost zero Kelvin.
Yeah, and that's a bit difficult because it would make it hard to put a chip like that into a phone.
And it's really exactly that calls burn. Oh, look, my hand just dropped off home
again.
Hate
so,
when that happens.
Yeah, so things are developing, and where people put their trust and their faith is of critical importance. We're talking eternal significance here.
And eschatology aside, not one of us has tomorrow promised.
That's
correct. Not one of us.
Right.
We don't even know if we're going to make it through the day. So, you know, now is the time to accept Christ as your Savior. And if you're curious about it, go read about it. Go read, you know, the book of John, just the Gospel of John. Mm-hmm. It's a simple read. And right after that, if you want to read more, read 1 John.
Mm-hmm. It is something you can spend your entire life studying. And, you know, I'm by no means a scholar, but the more reading and study that I do, and, you know, frankly, this is a failing on my part, often in response to challenges that are thrown my way. So I'll prove that guy wrong. And, you know, and, but it, at least it motivates me to dig into Scripture and into apologetics to make sure that what I believe is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Because contrary to those who criticize believers as engaging in wishful thinking, because we find it comforting to believe in an omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient deity who loves us, I don't have any desire to live in a fantasy world.
No.
I want to live a reality-based existence. And the eyewitness testimony to the life, death, and resurrection, which is the key, mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ, is compelling. It is the best attested, historically documented death of the ancient world, mm-hmm. Of the classical era.
Yeah.
And based on that, and the affirmation of the reality, the truth of the Old Testament by Jesus during his ministry, that enables me to, you know, build on the foundation. Okay, he really lived, he really died, he really said these things that are recorded in the Gospels, and during his ministry, he talked about all these other things in the past, like Moses and Adam, literal creation. Okay, well, then if that's true, then that's okay, I can buy all it. Okay, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the realization for me that it was the story written by Josephus, where he records the death of Jesus' half-brother James. You know, he grew up with Jesus in the household and was a skeptic, reading the Gospel of John, that James and his brothers didn't believe in Jesus. But after the resurrection, James was so convicted that he died rather than recant his belief that Jesus was God in the flesh.
Exactly.
What changed his mind? Well, he saw it with his own eyes. It was
Amen.
True. So.
Amen. Well, this time of year, we all remember, you know, even it's a wonderful opportunity to share Christ
yeah.
with people who ordinarily wouldn't want to talk about him, wouldn't want to hear about him. Whether or not he was born at this time of year, probably not. He was probably born, Mike Heiser says, probably 9/11
yeah.
of the year 3 BC.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really matter when it comes right down to it.
That's
Take
right.
the opportunity to share Christ, because he came as a baby. He's coming back as a king.
Exactly. And he'll be all out of bubblegum. we pray that you have a blessed holiday season.
Yeah, we will not be back until after the first of the year. There will be no Gilbert House Fellowship this Sunday. We're taking the weekend mm-hmm. just to worship and be together as a family.
Amen to that. So, in the new year, until the new year, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, and Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here.